Hi, my name is Karanbir Singh. I'm a senior program manager on the Windows operating system security and identity team. Windows 10 was a very exciting release from the identity point of view. We introduced a lot of new functionality in the form of Azure AD Join, Windows Hello, Web Account Manager, Companion Device Framework. That list goes on and on and on. What we'll be focusing on during this session, however, is not going too deep into each one of these technology areas themselves, but just zoom out and see how these complement each other, work with each other. Hopefully, you'll walk away with a clear mental model of all of these identity investments in Windows 10. And that would help you figure out which of these features that you've learned about over this year, over this week, are the best ones for your enterprise and for your information workers or for your customers. Before I dive into this new, I kind of do want to share about when we were planning Windows 10, what were some of our thought processes? There were a couple of major trends that really led to the identity investments in Windows 10. The first one being, when we launched Windows 8, this was the first time where we brought Microsoft accounts, Microsoft's consumer identity system, onto Windows as a first-class citizen. And we lit up a lot of services using the Microsoft account that I'm going to refer to as MSA, that we used MSAs for to light up. Things like consumers were for the first time able to log into their Windows PC with their MSA. They were able to access store. They were able to acquire apps. All of the inbox applications that came pre-installed knew who the user was and were able to just bootstrap the logged on user's identity to provide a very curated experience, right? This was a very, very, very good start. But as Windows 10 started rolling out, we also started getting a lot of feedback from our enterprise customers where they all loved what we did with MSA and Windows 8, but there were gaps when it came to that solution being enterprise ready. Right? So they said, well, we like what you did. We want all of those apps. We want access to the store. We want a lot of other things too. And please make it such that I can deploy it to tens of thousands of people in my enterprise. Number two, well, as we just looked at the general landscape at the time, a couple of things were very clear. First, that folks are no longer coming to the traditional workplace to get work done. Most of us send our first email way before we even make it to our offices, right? We check our last email way after we've left work. Now, this obviously is leading to a completely new culture and a mind shift in how we think about productivity in the enterprise. The IT departments are also seeing this trend, which is why we see a bunch of applications that were traditionally on-prem line of business applications moving to the cloud, becoming SaaS class of applications such that they're available to all of the enterprise workers, wherever they need it, on whichever device they want it, right? So what we wanted to make sure was we not only took Windows and bridged some of the gaps we heard about, but also make it such that it was resilient and ready for this new future. When we started thinking of all of these various trends, right, you've heard of the traditional, bringing your device to, you're given a device by your IT admin, which has been the traditional way of doing things. A lot of people are now bringing their own devices into work and accessing, enterprise content on their personal devices. There's a new trend, choose your own device, where IT admins are trying to say, hey, why don't you just go to a retailer, buy that device there, and bring it to work, and we'll set it up. But if anything goes wrong with it, we will redirect you and kind of be more cost effective when it comes to remediating those issues. And there were just so many of these permutations and combinations that we said, all right, how do we make sense of all of them such that we design Windows in a way that it works for every use case? So we started thinking about a couple of pivots, right? The first one was ownership, and the second one was, which was dovetailed into ownership, what the primary purpose of this device is eventually going to be. In the ownership category, well, it's pretty simple. Either you own the device and you paid for it, or your enterprise or your organization paid for it and they own it. And now it's very easy for you to all of a sudden map BYOD, CYOD, bring your device, I lost my device, I got my own device. Like, there's so many of these. But this is where it's at. It really depends on who owns it, and therefore, what is the primary purpose of this device, right? Who's gonna manage it? What are you gonna use this primarily for? Of course, the lines are blurry, but when you look at the personal ownership, well, either you're gonna use it for your own self and do fun things on it. Sometimes, you'll also maybe add your email so that you can get your calendar updates and your emails. And on the other side, if the device is really owned by the organization that's primarily meant for work, and depending on the kind of people you work for, they might even let you do some fun things on there, right? So this is a slide I'm gonna keep on coming back to, and we're gonna keep on adding more complexity as we introduce new topics. And the way I've structured this is I'm gonna talk about a new Windows 10 feature, help you visualize it, see how IT thinks about it, or how end customers experience it, and then layer that in here just to make sure that we have this story that we're building. And as a byproduct of that, what we wanna focus today is how Windows is ready for the work category, right? The information workers category. All right. So let's start with, if I wanted to just zone in on organizational owned PCs that were meant for work, right? The first thing is, how do we think about how such a device needs to be deployed in an organization, and what are the ways in which Windows offers those functionality? Well, there are two primary modes of deployment. The new one that we added in Windows 10 is called Azure AD Join. How many of you have heard of it or know about it? Excellent. I see a lot of hands, so great. So this was the first time we took Azure AD, Microsoft's enterprise-grade identity system, and made it a first class and brought it to Windows. And we did it in a way where not only did it light up the same level of experiences that folks had gotten accustomed to with Microsoft accounts in the consumer space, but we also made sure that all of the new requirements that businesses have from a compliance point of view or a management point of view was met. So this is an excellent way where it's centered towards a self-service, self-deployment kind of mode where your enterprise customer or worker can perhaps go even into a retail store, pick up a brand new device and set it up with their Azure AD account, get all the policies that the IT had set up, and finally make it to their desktop. A desktop that is once again alive, it knows who you are, all of the inbox applications are ready to go, store has been curated and has an enterprise catalog where again your IT can use that as a mode of distribution for line of business applications. And then later on, after we released Windows 10 initially, we also brought this same functionality over to Windows phones. So you can also have Windows phones that are curated for organizational usage. And the second mode, of course, we are very familiar with this one. It's called domain join, something we've all been doing for so many years. We didn't just stop with domain join, we've been investing continually to make it better. We wanted to embrace the cloud, we wanted to bring Azure AD. So what we did was we took regular domain join and connected it to Azure AD as well. So if you have a hybrid environment where you have both Azure AD and on-prem AD, we've made it such that now it's possible using the power of Azure AD Connect, where if your users have domain join devices and they log in with their domain credentials, it's still possible to get to all of these cloud resources in the same clean way. So going back to the next slide. Now I want you guys to visualize that same concept that I just talked about. The first one being ownership. So this is a brand new device where you go through the UBI process. You'll be faced with this screen where it asks you, who owns this device, right? So this is where users make that choice. Is this mine? Is this my organization's? We've also made sure that there's a corresponding experience on the phone which feels familiar. And that looks very similar. Who owns this device? If you're a personal device, you can go ahead and log in with your Microsoft account. And if you're an organizationally owned device and that's what you're gonna be using it for, you can use your Azure AD join. The next slide is choose how you wanna connect. So this is sort of the next pivot that we just talked about. After ownership has been chosen, my organization owns it, well, there are two modes that you can choose from. Either choose to Azure AD join this device, or you can choose to domain join this device. Same thing on the phone as well. Great. So I'm going to, now let's talk about the second pivot of a phone or a device that was really personally owned, but you want to bring it in and you want to use it for work. What we did there was we made it possible for a user to add a work account, right? So these are traditionally the way we see it is you've probably logged into Windows PCs with your Microsoft account and you're loving how everything feels, but it's also possible for you to just go ahead and add your work account. And it does so in a way where just provide your credentials, automatically it'll look up your tenant setting. If there's a management solution hooked up, those management policies are already are pulled down. And this device becomes compliant with how your IT wanted it to be when it came to accessing work resources. From there on out, this account is available across the board. Any app you fire up that are inbox, you'll have the ability to just add that account. You'll see it across the board. You wouldn't have to re-authenticate unless you were actually required to. And what that looks like, so this is a screenshot of the desktop. What I've done is you go to settings, you go to accounts, and that is where you see access work or school. Clicking on connect opens up a dialog where you enter your email address that you got. This is your work email address. And we automatically figure out whether are you an Azure AD account or a different kind of account? Which management solution does your IT need you to use? You don't have to worry about all of that. That's all happening seamlessly. So the user from the end user's point of view just enters his or her email address, gets the policies, gets this account added, and you're good to go. So adding a layer, Windows 10 configurations. Right? So these are, when it comes to organizationally owned devices, this is how you can think of deploying Windows. Now, this question comes up quite often, which is, all right, so if I'm on-prem only, I get it. I'm going to use domain join. If I'm cloud only, I'm going to go ahead and use Azure AD join. But most people are in the hybrid mode, and they oftentimes ask this question, well, what do I do? So the answer is that there are a few pivots that we would like you to think through and see how your organization grades against those. And hopefully, based on that, you can choose which solution is the right one. The high order bit is there is a solution. This is how we want you to think about it. So there are just some of the pivots. We've talked about ownership already. Let's talk about provisioning. Provisioning is a very interesting pivot to think through. So if you've been using the traditional way of provisioning devices in the form of, first of all, who does the provisioning, right? Is it going to be your IT department that's going to do the provisioning? Or do you want your information workers to be in charge of provisioning? Lowers costs, why not? Or you might have a setup where, hey, maybe you don't have physical access to your information workers. They're remote, they're working out of satellite offices, right? And maybe shipping devices back and forth is not the most effective way of getting things done. The second one is, what is your management solution? So if you've been using the traditional management solutions in the form of SCCM, et cetera, well, those are curated to be used really well with domain join. Whereas if you're embracing the modern device management solutions, well, they have a much tighter integration when it comes to Azure AD join or even adding a work account. Of course, the most important thing is which access are you which resources are you optimizing such that your information workers have access to? Are they on-prem? Are they in the cloud? Are they only in the cloud? Are they everywhere? So that's something to think through. Finally, deployment types, traditional workplace or seasonal workers or CVOD or BVOD. This is how you can map which one meets your requirement. And the last one is really devices. So this generally only comes into play when, for example, there are certain capabilities, let's take Azure AD Join, for example, right? On a Windows phone, only Azure AD joining or signing in with your personal account is supported. You cannot traditionally domain join a phone. So if you're deploying phones, well, your choice is pretty clear. So these are just some of the pivots. There are others also, but the high order bit here being, think through these and see which one makes the most sense for you. I also wanted to touch upon certain new things that we've added. This is just sort of an FYI. We are continuing to invest, we are continuing to update, and so certain things that are new in the anniversary update. So when it came to Azure AD Join, as we initially shipped it, there were a couple of broad pieces of feedback that we got. The first one was, you guys don't support smart cards. I need support for smart cards. So we've actually gone ahead and done that. So now it is possible for you to sign into an Azure AD Join device using a smart card. This benefits actually two categories, not only just the Azure AD Join class, where it's supported now and you get access to cloud resources using your smart cards, but also on the traditional domain join side of things where, yes, of course, smart cards were supported for you to log in and get access to on-prem, but it wasn't supported to get you access to cloud resources. So we've bridged that gap as well. So smart cards are fully supported when it comes to accessing on-prem resources and cloud resources on domain join devices and Azure AD Join devices. Second one, this was my favorite. My coworkers would tell me this all the time. Azure AD Join devices don't support remote desktop. Can you please, please, please make that happen? We've gone ahead and done that too. So now it is possible for you to remote desktop between two Azure AD Join devices or from a traditional domain join device into an Azure AD Join device. The way I have it is I have one desktop, which is under my desk, which is domain joined, and then I have my mobile computer, my PC, my laptop, which is Azure AD joined, just so that I get to experience both. And now I can work seamlessly through these two deployment types. And finally, we also got a lot of questions when it came to, so there were two ways when we initially launched Windows 10 to enroll into MDM or set it up for work. So there was a separate entry point where you had to go if you wanted to just enroll into MDM, and there was a separate entry point if you wanted to add a Azure AD account. And people were confused because they were adding one and then management settings didn't come down, or they were just getting the management settings but they weren't getting the single sign-on benefits. And so what we've gone ahead and done is, well, minimize the confusion. There's one single unified entry point. This was the same one that I just showed you, that connect button. You enter your email. If it's Azure AD, we'll go through that flow and add that account with the policies coming down. And if it's just an MDM enrollment, that'll just happen seamlessly as well. So to get more details on what's new in the dynamic provisioning world and how you manage devices, I'd highly recommend checking out the session. I know some of you might have been there already because this was earlier in the week, but for those of you watching online, this is an excellent session. And I'm gonna, through the course of this presentation, also provide other pointers. Since I mentioned I'm not gonna go deep into everything, we have already done that. So this is sort of a level up. If you want more information, you can go check that out as well. So, we figured out how to provision a device, get it in a state where a user can start using it. And identity is very important for it. But it's not what users are really focused on. It's not what you are focused on. What we all are focused on is on getting things done. How do we make it such that people, our information workers, are able to seamlessly access the kind of resources that are crucial when it comes to getting their jobs done? And so I want to walk you through a couple of demos and just show you what is possible with Windows 10. All right, so I'm going to do two sets of demos. One is an Azure AD Join device. I'm going to log in, show you how that works. Then I'm going to show you a corresponding experience on a Windows phone. So I'm going to switch displays. So first of all, I have this device. Imagine I went through that same out-of-the-box experience where I answered the question that my organization owns this, I want to Azure AD join, I enter my email address, go through that process, and here I am on my start screen. First of all, it's a start screen that's personalized. It was already able to pull down my profile information, my pictures, my background preferences. So that's neat, right? That's very welcoming. I'm going to go ahead and log into this device. Now, this is an Azure AD join device. So we can check that easily by going to Settings, System, About. You'll see how organization is Microsoft. The other thing you can also do is if you go into Accounts, you'll see that I'm logged into this device with my Microsoft.com ID. This is my Azure AD account. The other thing that I mentioned was, as a byproduct of you just having Azure AD join this device and then logging on, this is a device that's already being managed by Intune. And so all of the policies I need are here. Additionally, it is possible for the enterprise admin or IT admin to curate this experience. So in my case, a couple of things I want to highlight. First, the top section test for OSG. This is just one of the apps we use back home, and I didn't have to install it. It was already there because my IT admin pushed it for me. Second thing I want to highlight is how my start screen layout looks slightly different. This is one that has roamed. This is how my desktop behaves, and therefore it just migrated those same settings and they're available here. So that's very powerful. Okay, great, but let's talk about getting work done, right? Well, all of the, like I mentioned, all of the applications, it's now possible for them to leverage the logged on user's identity and just seamlessly bootstrap and log users in to provide them access. Just to give you an example, I like to refer to this as application single sign-on. I'm gonna launch Word app. It's the first run experience, as you can tell. I'm gonna go through, it tells you obviously all the things that it can do. Third screen, it already knows who I am. I'm just gonna click, it'll log me on, and before I know it, I'm gonna have a list of all those documents that I was working on any of my devices. No prompts so far, which is very, very powerful. The next thing, which is equally important, is perhaps getting to resources that are on the internet. So I'm gonna try and launch Microsoft Edge. I wanna go to the SharePoint website. First thing, you see how I just typed M and it pre-filled the whole thing? My IE shortcuts also roamed. Again, this is all the power of the cloud. This information existed somewhere, it's available here. I'm gonna go ahead and navigate to my SharePoint endpoint. Going through, and there you go. I'm already logged in. I did not have to provide my credentials. That's very powerful. So imagine getting an email client that was ready to go. In that email, you had a link when someone was asking you to go check something out, which took you out to the browser where it was a protected resource. You click on it, and you're there. That's very, very compelling. Now, this is something we haven't showed as much, so I want to go through and show you how the same experience looks like on a Windows phone. So here I have a device which is an Azure AD joined Windows phone. Same stuff. I'm going to show you a couple of the same experiences that I just showed you, which is I'll take you to settings, go to accounts. If I look at your info, you'll first of all see that I'm logged in with my Azure AD account. And this device is a work account and it's ready to go. Next, I want to show you the same management policies. I click on Access Work. You'll see that connected to Microsoft's Azure AD and that this is being managed by our MTM solution, so all the policies are down. The next thing, like I talked about, if you focus on the middle of my screen, it's fine. How my calendar is already syncing. I didn't even launch the app and it was already good to go. Same experience with my mail. Well, I showed you the Office app example. I'm gonna do that again. First run experience, getting things ready. There you go. It knows who I am. I can start using this application. The same list that I just showed you on my desktop also is available here. The same experiences. Let's take Microsoft Edge as an example, and I want to navigate to microsoft.sharepoint.com. Same experience. My URL was there. I just have to click let's go. It's going to find out who I am and just take me to that web page, not really prompt me again, and seamless access to those resources. So that's really, really powerful, and I love absolutely using this. So we're going to transition back. So we talked about how, you know, Windows 10 makes it really, really awesome when it comes to accessing your resources, which is really the most important part. Well, let's talk about how that really worked. What did the app developers do? What did Windows do in order to make that experience possible? And more importantly, how you can write your line of business applications to have the same amazing experience, right? So this is where Web Account Manager comes in. So Web Account Manager is a authentication framework that we introduced in Windows 10 that allows for applications to request authentication tokens to be able to go access resources. This is one consistent way of requesting tokens from be it Microsoft's consumer cloud in the form of Microsoft accounts or the enterprise cloud with Azure AD. Let's take a look quickly at how that works. So we have the Web Account Manager, we have an application, we have an endpoint in the cloud somewhere that I want to get access to. This is the app. And then there is a web account provider. Now, this is who the identity provider is, right? So the left-hand side is an application. The bottom box, web account provider, is also an application that's installed on the machine. We ship with Microsoft account application, web account provider inbox, Azure AD inbox, Xbox Live inbox. But you'll see how that why that is interesting in a little bit. The usual flow is app wants to connect to identity service or a provider. It asks web account manager, hey, can you get me a token, please? I want to do XYZ. It says, all right, well, let me route that request to the corresponding web account provider, if one exists. That app comes up, either in the foreground or the background, depending on what the use case is. It talks to its backend, retrieves that token, and gives it back to the web account manager. We pass it back to the original app. We do some processing in the middle so that, you know, we cache things so that, well, the next time a similar request comes in, we have something cached so we can get back to you as soon as possible. Also does a whole lot of good to your battery consumption and things like that. And then once you get that token, the app goes and talks to the backend cloud that they wanted to. This was exactly what the example that I just showed you. Also, what we've done is, for the longest time, there was a divide between, or almost two islands. Apps worked one way, but when I went to the corresponding website, it still wanted me to sign in all over again. So we've made it possible. So if you recall, Windows 8, you logged in with your Microsoft account. You went to Outlook.com and you were just signed in in the browser. We extended that and obviously lit it up for Azure AD as well. But we didn't stop there. We made it possible for anyone to participate in that experience using the power of a web account manager. So it is possible for a web account provider to use the web account manager to also light up single sign-on experiences in the browser. As I highlighted, the examples that I just showed you in the form of Word talking to Azure AD and just seamlessly sign you on was using this functionality. Thing I want to highlight is that the web account manager is actually extensible. It's not just locked down for these three identity systems. There are sometimes legitimate needs where you want a different identity provider, right? Either because you yourself are an identity provider, or you have a class of line of business applications that have this requirement where you want to provide a single sign-on experience across that suite, but it uses some custom identity protocols or flows, right? So what you can do is package it all up into this web account provider app and deploy it in your organization, and then all of your line of business applications can kind of go through the same flow, acquire those tokens, and provide that seamless experience. So going back to the original slide, so next, let's add the next layer of how do I get access to resources. That's where Web Account Manager comes in. Another note, at the end of the presentation, I have a few slides with a bunch of resources that you can click on to get all the details you need to really deep dive into any one of these technologies. All right, so with Windows 10, we obviously brought on new identity systems, lit up new experiences. It was a big shift in how we started thinking about embracing the modern world. One of the things that we did as part of the identity investment story was that we just took a hard look at how identity was represented. And today, it's really, for the most part, represented using passwords. And we all know passwords are bad, so I'm not going to go into why they're bad, right? They're bad, people are getting hacked left, right, and center. And so there is a need for us to do something new, right? This was an interesting, I don't know if you've seen this already, maybe you have, maybe you've not. Just a quick show of hands. For $1,000, who's willing to give me their passwords, their work email password? Two takers. So this room is obviously, you know, the room of smart people, right? We are in the business of actually making sure that our enterprise workers don't end up making this mistake. But when you ask an average, the enterprise worker side of things, the same question, we found that 20% of the people were willing to give up their corporate credentials. That's 1 in 5, right? The second thing, which was very interesting, is we asked this question of, well, how, do you share your passwords with your coworkers? Do you guys? What do you think the number for this one was, if you've not already seen this slide? Over two-thirds. Two-third people share their passwords with their coworkers. Now, these are not bad people. They're really just trying to get work done, right? And so what we have to do, and this was our thought model, well, let's do something, first of all, that protects users and cures everything that is wrong with passwords as they exist, right? But let's do it in a way where it's not just security that we focus on. Let's do it in a way where it's also really easy for people to use it. So easy that this 66% of the customer base doesn't feel the need to share credentials, because it's just so easy that I don't have to. Everyone can have their own. They won't even know it, right? So this is where Windows Hello comes in. I'm sure you've gone to a lot of deep dives that talk about Windows Hello. You've seen commercials. But at a very fundamental level, what is Windows Hello? Well, it's a awesome way of replacing your passwords with a much more secure credential type, right? It is a key-based authentication system that's baked into Windows 10. So as opposed to using hashes of your passwords, what we're really doing is when the act of logging in or signing up is really establishing a private public key pair. The private key is stored securely on your device's DPM, and the public key is sent back to your identity provider. Then, well, that's great. That's how the back end works, right? On the front end, when it comes to users experiencing that, that is where all the magic is, right? You can obviously use your PIN to access these resources and use Windows Hello. You can use a fingerprint sensor that might be available on your device already. You can use, on the modern hardware, facial recognition, or iris recognition for that matter. So it's a very fluid experience where you just don't even know that such a big change has happened in the back end. This is actually one of the few hallmarks of Windows security where we've taken something in the form of passwords, replaced it with something way more secure, at the same time without compromising on usability. And not just compromising, making usability so much more better. Like I said, there are a few talks that we did earlier in this week that tell you about, well, you all know about Windows Hello. Well, how do you deploy it? How do you use it? What are the various nitty-gritties that you want to be aware of? So I highly recommend checking those talks out as well. So I'm going to go on the same master slide, add another layer. After we looked at ownership, purpose, Windows 10 configuration, how you get access to resources seamlessly, and then how are we looking at protecting your identity? Now, let's dovetail this a little bit. We looked at Azure AD Join, and we looked at how I was able to access resources. The back end, it's actually using Hello, right? Now, I can, on the same PC that I use my password to unlock, I can use my fingerprint to unlock, and it's using Hello to unlock the device. And in the back end, my password's not being used. It's actually Windows Hello in play. We talked about how Web Account Manager is extensible, and you can have your own identity system or your own custom provider. In the same way, Windows Hello is also extensible, right? So if you have your own line of business applications that want to talk to your own provider that wants to do Windows Hello, all of that is possible, right? It's very powerful. Earlier this year, we also announced the Windows Hello Companion Device Framework. So this is how we're expanding the Windows Hello family. We showed you how it's possible for you to unlock a Windows PC using a companion device. We also announced that we were actually opening this up to our hardware partners such that they can bring new awesome devices to market that can participate in this goodness. So we've been, over the last couple of months, hard at work, working with a lot of hardware partners across the board, HP, Lenovo, HID, Plantronics, Yubico, et cetera. This is a long, long, long list of people who are working really hard to bring amazing devices that they work on and bring them and participate with Windows Hello. And this is really, really awesome because you can then figure out which device meets your needs in your enterprise. And do you want to deploy this and sort of have your end users experience something that's really awesome, but at the same time, equally secure? So I want to show you such a demo. So here is a we've been working really hard in collaboration with our partners at Yubico. Yubico is a hardware authentication device manufacturer that makes devices such as the YubiKey. This is just a USB-based key, which is very powerful. It's capable of doing supporting authentication and cryptographic protocols. It's a USB-based device. And so let's take a look at what Windows Hello Companion Device Framework and the YubiKey can do together. Switch over to my third device. All right. Right off the bat, I want you to focus on the top of the screen where it says, tap your YubiKey to sign in. So this is a Windows 10 PC that has the YubiKey Windows Hello app already installed on it. So I'm going to go ahead, take this YubiKey, insert it into the USB slot. And this is really fast, so 3, 2, 1, tap. Well, something had to happen. Let's do this again. Now I just noticed my key wasn't inserted all the way. There you go. All I did was insert the key, tap, and it was able to log me on. Now this is just one example how this piece of hardware works and how you were able to use that to unlock the PC. You can imagine a plethora of these devices existing in the form of, let's say, your ID card where you can just tap it and log into your PC, or you can have your headband log you into a PC if you're working in call centers, or if you have a fitness tracker that's on your wrist all the time, how that can be used to unlock your PC. It really depends on your use case and what works best for you. But the fundamental point being, we've replaced passwords with something that's stronger in the form of Hello, and we've made it not just secure, but also so useful. Switch back to the slides. All right. So let's add that little piece. So the Windows Hello, this is at the bottom of your screen now, the companion device framework and how it dovetails into Windows Hello and how all of the other stuff works. Now, how many of you have heard of Pass the Hash attacks? A lot of you. So this is one of the things that's plaguing the enterprise security audience right now. Pass the Hash attacks are these really sophisticated attacks where attackers can sift through memory dumps that are very easily available and then parse them to find credentials or derivatives of credentials, and then use them to basically go through the network in order to basically gain access to your entire networks. So that's bad. Such spear phishing attacks, like I mentioned, are probably the most common in enterprise security today. So one of the things that we did, so this is how we've been talking about how we took identity, we secured identity, and how there's another layer of identity protection that we added. And this is where virtualization-based security comes in. What we did really was, in a very fundamental level, and again, there are a lot of deep dives that go into the details, but at a very high level, we said there are certain things that are very important, things like your credentials, things like protecting this device. And can we take those very critical pieces of the OS and move them into a Hyper-V, which is a VM, in the hopes, really, to segregate it and isolate it in hardware such that if there's any malware that's running on the regular system is not able to get to this isolated environment. And so what we did was we introduced a thing called Credential Guard. Credential Guard is this Windows 10 technology that is geared towards protecting your credentials against pass the hash attacks. And any credential operations that the system does are all moved into that Hyper-V environment, which is secure and running in an isolated area. So when you have these same attack vectors that, well, let's say if you were on Windows 7, Windows 8, where you did not have CredGuard, were able to get the hashes and then therefore got you in trouble, if you enable CredGuard, that protects you against it. And so, again, if you want to learn how CredGuard works, all the details, how you can deploy it, highly recommend checking this session out. Finally, so this is just last layer that I want to add. So this is essentially the money slide. These are, we've talked about Azure AD Join, Ad Work Account, Dynamic Provisioning. We've talked about the new things in Domain Join. We've talked about how apps and websites can get, users can get single sign-on access to them. We've talked about how identity is represented and how it's secure. We've talked about how it can be used, and we've talked about how it can be protected. So a lot of topics, CredGuard, Web Account Manager, Windows Hello, Azure AD Join, right? But now you know how these are really supposed to come together and how they complement each other. So just to summarize, if you're IT admins, how do you deploy Windows? Well, there are three major ways: Domain Join, Azure AD Join, Add a Work Account. If you're a developer who's in the business of writing apps that perhaps are relying parties of Azure AD, or you're a developer that writes line of business applications that have their own authentication needs and therefore you need to support that, look up the Web Account Manager. It's a very powerful authentication infrastructure. IT admins and developers together, let's get rid of passwords. Let's move over to a world where we embrace Windows Hello and stronger authentication models such that you're not susceptible to all the bad that goes with passwords. And finally, Credential Guard. If you have modern hardware deployed in your organizations, you have no reason for you to not switch this on. This will start protecting your users and their credentials as soon as you turn it on. Bunch of resources. These was the same, you know, the same things that I was referencing to. So they're hyperlinks. You can try them out. If you haven't been able to go to all of these sessions, I highly recommend checking them out. And finally, we just want to reiterate on the fact that if you aren't already on the Windows Insider Program, please join it. It is an excellent way for you to provide us with feedback, let us know what works, what doesn't work, and as soon as we hear it, we'll make sure we fix it. So please join the Insider Program. And this is a selfish slide. Please provide feedback on the content of the session, whether it worked for you, whether you were looking for something else, something different. Either way, good or bad, would be really appreciated, and we'll make sure that we have these sessions in the future that they meet your needs. With that, I'm going to open up to Q&A if you guys have any questions. All right. Thank you. And I know this is the last session, so have a very safe flight back. I hope you enjoyed Ignite. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes. My question is, when you're using these gesture-based authentication, are you actually using, in the background, are you still using username and passwords? This is just a way of protecting the actual password, like, you know, with the smart cards way? Or you're actually totally getting rid of the passwords?
No, we're totally getting rid of the passwords. What we're doing is, so today, you know, when you do an authentication back and forth, your actual hash is going over the wire. But what we're doing is when we set up Hello for you the first time, and you can use whichever modality, a one-time password or something. But what we're doing is establishing a private-public key pair, and that is what is from there on out is used between the client and the server. So there's a new protocol that we use to go back and forth, and so the passwords aren't being used. And with the companion device, we're just unlocking that key, right? The question was, the device that I just used, the YubiKey, did it have a biometric sensor? The answer is no. It was just a haptic tap that I did. But there are other device manufacturers that are doing exactly what you said, where you can stick a USB key that can do a fingerprint scanning. Right, right. But the idea is that it's just indicative of a lot of these, right. Yeah. Personally, what I end up doing is I usually keep my YubiKey on my keys. Keys are something that I naturally feel, I don't know, instinctively, I'm always checking if I have them or not. So I make sure that that's always on me. And what you want to make sure is, sorry, what was your question? Well, I try not to. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Any other questions? And I would highly recommend coming to the podium or the mics so that people listening online can also hear you.
What about devices that where you have... where you don't have a TPM, can you still use Hello?
You can, except, so this is a management choice. You can choose to enable Hello. You can, first of all, the answer is yes. But you have to recognize the fact that the private key is being stored not in a TPM, and TPM has its own benefits. It's possible to. And then on the flip side, like I said, as an IT admin, you have the choice to roll out a policy that says, I want TPM. Otherwise, I'm not going to let you sign in.
Absolutely.
And so if that maps with your deployment.
It may be a cost question.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep. Welcome. Yes, sir.
You said that with the provider, that you could do browser SSO to the provider. Do you know if that's built into ADFS 2016?
So AAD and ADFS already supported, so you don't even have to, from your point of view, if you're integrated in a way where you're a relying party of Azure AD or AD, you're good already. Okay. So you don't even have to do anything new. We've taken care of it in the plumbing of the OS.
That's great. Thank you.
So with Windows Hello replacing the password and that becomes the token, what about third-party apps that rely on Active Directory but they don't have any providers, so they're looking for a password that is their integration with Active Directory. What do you do that?
Excellent question. And we have a lot of these, right, that aren't really, they're relying parties that aren't dependent on a particular identity provider or federated with them. And I'm just a guy who wants to do back and forth between my own server. It is possible, actually, to use Windows Hello there, too. And one of the sessions I had a pointer to actually does a great job of going into the details of how you would go about implementing that. So this was Windows Hello, secure Windows apps and Windows Edge websites with Windows Hello. So this actually goes into the details of how, if you were just talking to your own backend, how do you enable, how do you, you know, opt into this model? And this is just to give you a little teaser. If, let's say, you wrote your Contoso app that talks to your Contoso backend, how can you write an application that logs the user on automatically because they scan their face, right? So it's possible, first of all, to get on the Windows Hello bandwagon and leverage the same use cases. And the same is also possible in the web space. So let's say you don't even have applications. Can you write a web page that can allow you to log into the web page by leveraging Windows Hello, which could be a fingerprint or scanning a facial recognition?
So I'm actually talking more third-party, off-the-shelf type apps. Mm-hmm. I don't write any providers. I don't have any ability to adapt them natively. I'm talking just like third-party, like for smaller businesses. We've got myriad apps that might use the Active Directory account, but there's no, like, we're not going to write a provider.
Yeah, so like I said, so there are two parts to this. If you're just using an application that is a relying party off an identity system, and that identity system has done the work to integrate with Windows Hello, which Azure AD and ADFS and all these people are in the process of doing and have done, then you get those benefits for free. But if you're a third party that talks to its own backend, you're going to have to wait for them to upgrade. And we are working very closely with that ecosystem to move everyone. I mean, everyone's feeling the pain already, so it's not a very hard thing to sell. People are losing a lot of money when it comes to account compromise, so they have an incentive to move over to Hello. It takes a little bit of time, so we're working very closely with the industry partners and in the form of FIDO Alliance, where the entire industry is sort of doing this together. Yes, sir.
So my understanding, Windows Hello for Business is supported for on-prem installations with Windows 10 and Windows 16 as a domain controller. Is that correct?
There's a session that will go into the details. It's something we're working on.
Okay. But it's not still available? It's not ready yet?
For on-prem only, that's something that's still in the pipeline.
Still in the pipeline, okay. I guess my question is, we go with Windows Hello for our environment, once that becomes available on-prem, so the password policies will have no meaning, right, in that case?
That's usually correct, but when it comes to deploying such a policy in practice, you will find that there are a few apps that perhaps haven't upgraded all the way and are still using, let's say, basic auth. And if those still depend on your password and your policy was, let's say, 90 days through, you're going to expire those passwords, those class of applications will stop working. But that's just part of the deployment, and that's exactly what we go into the details of, too. When you're looking at the transition, you want to make sure that you're taking care of any dependencies in App Compact. And, yes, if you were really trying to get rid of passwords, you also need to update the apps that only use passwords. It's sort of obvious. Any other questions? All right, I think that's it. Thank you, everyone. Once again, have a very safe flight back. I hope you had fun at Ignite. We'll see you next year.